Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It's found on page 1255 of the Pew Bibles. 1 Thessalonians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1. After this, we'll read from 1 Corinthians. It's from 1 Corinthians, our text is taken this morning. We'll begin by reading 1 Thessalonians 1. Children, as we read this, listen for what we'll read of in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. People of God, hear now the very words of God. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, we'll begin reading verse 31, the second half of that. It's found on page 1220. In the Pew Bibles, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And we'll read through the very first part of chapter 14. Our focus will be on verses 12 and 13 of chapter 13. We'll begin reading in chapter 12. And I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Pursue love. As far as the reading, the Word of God. Congregation, we're told to make goals, and that's good. It's good to do, but often we get distracted from our goals, don't we? We might start out well in a project or a job or relationship with our goals clearly before us, but as time passes, as the routine of the job, as life itself sets in, we often lose focus of that goal. It seems like the Corinthian Christians had something like that. It appears they had partially lost sight of goals, the goal in their Christian living. They exalted spiritual gifts and talents that God gave to build up the church rather than focusing on the fundamental graces that are at the root. That those gifts and graces were designed to help, to foster, cultivate. It seems to be one reason why God inspired the Apostle Paul to write this epistle to the Corinthians, to write especially this 13th chapter, to refocus them, to keep us focused on the greatest of Christian graces, which is love. Love is the greatest. I proclaim to you this morning, love surpasses every Christian grace and gift. Love surpasses every Christian grace and gift. And first we consider from the first part of verse 13, the fundamental graces, the fundamental graces. As we've gone through 1 Corinthians 13, we've encountered many of what could be called graces that are included within love. There's patience, kindness, not being envious, and so forth. The apostle lists 10 such graces as he extols the virtues and teaches us about love, agape love. No doubt he could have listed more because love is the perfection of the law. It is the fullness of the duty we owe God, the fullness of the duty we owe our neighbor. Every consideration and exposition of the law of God is really an explanation of love. In our text this morning, though, the apostle boils things down to three graces: faith, hope, and love. They abide. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. The greatest of these is love. These three graces are fundamental to the Christian life on this earth. It's what we read of in 1 Corinthians 1, and we could have read from other passages. They come up again and again and again. They are fundamental. What's meant by these three graces, faith, hope, and love? Well, briefly, faith. What do we confess about faith? It's a sure knowledge that everything God has revealed to us in His Word is true. It is also a hearty trust which the Holy Spirit works in my heart by the gospel, that not only others but to me too, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given of God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits, faith. Faith is important because it is by faith and faith alone that Christ's righteousness is credited to the sinner. Faith is vital because it alone is the instrument by which we are justified in God's sight. Hope is not that instrument by which God says, you are righteous, you are forgiven, you are heir to heaven. Even love is not that means, that instrument. Faith is unique, only faith, faith alone. And while in this life we need Christ's righteousness credited to us through faith, that's our only hope. It's through faith and faith alone we are declared righteous. Not only are the good works of Christ credited to us by faith, but as we read in Thessalonians, what did the apostle wrote? He remembered in prayer their works of faith, that is the good works that are performed as a fruit of faith. Without faith, you and I have no salvation. Faith is fundamental. Hope. Hope, too, is fundamental. Hope motivates, moves us to persevere, to endure, as the apostle mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, which we read. We hope to attain to the end of our faith, don't we? We hope to live eternally with the triune God, who loves us, when every tear will be wiped away from our eyes, to live without sin forever. We hope to be transformed from this body of sin and death to a glorious body in which there will be no decay, no more sin at all, so we may fully fellowship with God and others forever. We as Christians, we have a wonderful and awesome hope held out to us. Hope that is so needed in this dark world amidst our sufferings and strains. To keep going on, there's hope. We certainly need hope to live in this world, which is nothing more than a constant death. Hope is fundamental. Faith, hope, love. Love is important, as the apostle has been teaching in this chapter. In fact, as we read back in verse 7, love believes all things. There's that faith aspect, hopes all things. Love implies and includes to some measure the other two graces. Everyone who is remade in God's image, who has been regenerated by the Spirit of the Holy God, who has His Spirit working in our hearts, we mimic our God as the child imitates his or her father. God is love. Those who are His children must love and are to love Him and one another. The apostle distills all of the Christian life then to three fundamental graces, because the goal of spiritual gifts and the ministry of the church is to Well, glorify God, yes, by building up the body of Christ, building up the body of Christ up in the graces of hope, faith, love. All of the spiritual gifts and cultivating those graces as their goal. They're fundamental to our life, our spiritual life. Now think back to some of the spiritual gifts and activities that occur in the church. Let's just make some of these connections to show. Preaching. Preaching declares God's word to his people. In order, why? To work faith within our hearts. So we know the true God. So we trust Jesus Christ and his work of redemption for us. Preaching, it builds us up in hope. Why? Because it declares to us the glories of heaven. The glories of the new heavens and the new earth. To set before our eyes that finish line that you, believer, you will get there by God's grace. He will bring you there. There is this prize that awaits you. Keep going. Preaching builds us up in love. Well, it makes clear to us the path of love in which we are to walk, love toward God, love toward neighbor. We especially cover that as we expound the Ten Commandments while going through the catechism. The spiritual gift of preaching, the primary means of grace, builds the church and its members up in faith, hope, and love. Preaching is not the end. It's the means to the end of building up the people of God in faith, hope, and love. Think of the sacraments. The sacraments confirm faith within us and testify to that same objective faith by being visible signs and seals of being washed in Christ's blood, partaking of his body and blood. The sacraments build us up in that way, faith. They build us up in hope by pointing us by faith to the kingdom of heaven in which we are members, of which we partake, confirming us that even from our earliest days, as we were just reminded last week, those children even, whoever is baptized, there is hope. Don't give up. Keep moving. Keep going. They build us up in love by teaching us we are members of one another, and thus we are to act as those who are connected to one another, as well as us having touch and feel signs and seals of God's love for us. We installed new office bearers today, elders and deacons. And these brothers are to be used by God to build up the church, to shepherd the church as elders, to oversee and stimulate to acts of mercy as deacons. Why? Faith, hope, and love. Brothers, in the details, in the busyness of your office, don't lose sight of these, the goal. As we mentioned last week, the spiritual gifts, and we can include the ordinances of the ministry of the gospel with those spiritual gifts, are intended as helps for imperfection. The imperfection of the church now, in this age, before Jesus comes. God has instituted these helps for our good. Because we as a church body and we as individual Christians, spiritually, it could be said we're immature. We're never as mature as we ought to be. The apostle illustrates that in verse 11. But these are not the end goal. They are designed to build us up to the goal, faith, hope, and love, all to the glory of God. Now we could go on to explain how the Holy Spirit in all the Christian walk, in all of the Christian ordinances and spiritual gifts, how he develops faith, hope, and love, but I trust the point's clear. These graces are fundamental to our Christian walk, to the ministry of the church. Not one of us can be a Christian without faith. Faith in the God who made all things. Faith in the Savior of us, body and soul. Not one of us is a Christian without hope. Hope in the return of Christ. The bringing in of and dwelling with him in the new heavens and new earth. We are not focused here below, but above. That's our hope. And not one of us can be a Christian without love. Love for God, love for neighbor. What did Jesus say? They will know you are mine by love. Love is characteristic of those who are born of God and know God. The Apostle John said that in his first epistle, 4 verse 7. So now, faith, hope, and love abide these three. Not prophecy, not tongues, not knowledge, not miracles. Faith, hope, and love. These are fundamental. Now, when we consider every spiritual gift and every aspect of being a Christian, when we meditate upon everything which concerns you and me as Christians, the final tally in this life, faith, hope, and love. That's what the apostle means when he says these remain. At the end of the day, these three are all that matter in life. Do you believe in Jesus Christ alone for salvation? Do you hope for eternal life that will be revealed when Jesus comes again? Do you love God and your neighbor? Every spiritual gift, every spiritual discipline, every spiritual aid is designed and used by the Spirit to foster faith, hope, and love. Fundamental. Now, even though they are all fundamental, they are not all equal. Two of these are temporary, in measure, temporary. And that's what we move to in our second point, the temporary gifts, verse 12. Temporary graces. Now, faith, hope, and love, these are fundamental graces of the Christian life here on this earth, but they're not the same. They're not equal. As the apostle indicates in verse 12, two of these graces will not exist in the new heavens and new earth, at least not as we now experience them and know them. In that sense, two of them are temporary, and the two are faith and hope. The apostle's explanation, verse 12, "For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." In this life now, we see God, Christ, heaven, unclearly. We see them by faith. Faith which is not sight. Oh, there are many who want to see by sight, who want to live by experience, and tell you about their experience. But throughout the pages of Scripture, it's faith. Faith is not sight. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "We walk by faith, not by sight. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror." In the times of the Apostle Paul, we think of mirrors that they had, they were not as clear as today. Mirrors were often metal. And they would polish that metal, and they would polish it and polish it so you could see a reflection in it. And so the image was true, was accurate. But which one of us have metal for mirrors now? No, we don't. They were still obscure. It was unclear. But seeing face to face, we know what that is. So too with our Christian faith in this life. We accurately see God, Christ, heaven, the articles of the Christian faith. But because we're seen by faith, we don't see as clearly as we will in the new heavens and new earth. The essence of faith is that which is not seen. Isn't that what Hebrews 11 tells us? It is a way of realizing and embracing that which is not now apparent. We have a connection with that which is viewed, but the connection's not clear. As the apostle says, now we see as in a mirror dimly. When Christ comes again, faith will become sight. And faith as we know it now will fade away. Faith in this life is a fundamental grace, but it's good only for this life. Because after this life, then, as the apostle says, then we will see face to face. Congregation, how wonderful that will be. Even those among us who are strongest in the faith, we have only a small glimpse of the reality and the glories that await us. When time is no more, faith will not be necessary in that way. Similarly with hope. Hope is not actuality. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 24, "Hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we will wait for it with patience." Hope is an expectation of that which is not yet possessed or experienced. We need that in this life, don't we? But when we come to eternity, what need is there of hope? In that time, we attain, we possess the object of our hope. In this life, we have the hope, then we will have it fully. Eternal life, glory, heaven with God. When Christ comes again, there will be no more hope. We will have the object itself. And children, think, as an illustration, just a few weeks ago, I imagine most of you were looking forward to the end of the school year, right? Maybe some would say, "I'm hoping for it." Well, here we are. Summer's come, right? school's finished. You're not hoping anymore. Instead, you're enjoying it. Well, it's not raining so much. Or maybe you're enjoying the rain too. But so too with all of us, brothers and sisters. When our hope is realized, there's no more need for hope. That connects with verse 12, because our hope in this life, as the apostle says in 1 John 3:23, is to be like Jesus. We are God's children now, the apostle John wrote, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. John brought up the word hope right there. It's the hope of heaven. The hope of possessing the fullness of eternal life that energizes us, that motivates us, that says, keep going on. That's what helps office bearers. The elders can testify to that. During times of discipline and discipline cases, shepherding the flock, you hope in the Lord. He's at work. You look forward to that time when his work will be finished, and you keep going. You keep going. Don't lose hope. Hope of heaven, possessing that fullness. We have that in part right now, partial right now, because the Holy Spirit lives within us. But when Jesus comes again, it will be complete. And we will be completed, perfected. The Apostle John connected hope to the knowledge of what Christ is like, what we will be when he returns, just as knowing and hope are connected with verses 12 and 13. We will no longer know in part what the image of Christ is, we will be conformed to it. We'll no longer have to hope to be sinless. We will be. No longer have to hope to be in the presence of God. We will be there. Even as we have been fully known. That's what the apostle seeks to express in verse 12. Now I know in part. I have something of that which I hope for that I'll have fully someday. I know somewhat of what I shall be when Christ comes again. But I don't yet know the fullness of it, but I will. That help spurs us on. That hope spurs us on, doesn't it? When the object of hope is received, there's no need for hope. Hope in this life is a fundamental grace, but it's only good for this life. Faith and hope are fundamental graces, but they do not endure throughout eternity. Again, not as we know them now. Now, there are some who think they do last into eternity, because the apostle says in verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide these three. However, the apostle is probably using that word abide, not in terms of eternity, as though these fundamental graces will abide throughout eternity, but he uses them as being weighed in the balance. The word can be used in that way. The apostle in this chapter, having considered spiritual gifts and all aids to perfections and all helps for our Christian walk, every virtue we have in this life, the only three that have weight at the end of the day, faith, hope, and love. Word abide points to their fundamental nature, not that they endure for eternity. Again, as the Bible teaches elsewhere, faith is not sight. Hope is not possession. Now we have faith. Now we have hope. New heavens, new earth, we won't need them. Again, not at least as we experience them now. So the graces of faith and hope themselves are helps for our state of imperfection here on this earth. And just as the extraordinary gifts of spiritual knowledge and revelation and prophecy and tongue speaking were removed when the scriptures were complete, so too faith and hope will cease when we attain to that perfection. Just as preaching and other spiritual gifts will cease when Christ comes again, so too those graces of faith and hope will cease. They're for here. Precisely because faith and hope are helps for our imperfect condition. Even though they're fundamental graces, they are not the greatest grace. The greatest is love. And that's what we move to in our third point, the greatest. The apostle wrote, verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Not only is love one of the fundamental graces, it is the greatest of the three. It is the greatest, not only because it has value now, but it will last throughout eternity. Love will never be removed. Love will never be surpassed. Love is not a help to build us onto perfection or maturity. It's the goal itself. Love is the fulfillment of the law. As the apostle wrote in Galatians 5, verse 6, the only thing that counts is faith working through love. The enduring nature of love comes from the enduring nature of God. Children, have you heard something in the Bible? In the Bible, we don't hear that God is hope. We don't hear that God is faith. But we do read God is love. You can read that, 1 John 4, verse 18, and 1 John 4, verse 16. God is not faith, God is not hope, God is love. And the love that we are to show Him as well as to show others comes from the same love God has shown us. The same love with which He loves us. Our goal of eternal life, of fellowshipping with God forever, without sin, without tears, without pain, takes place in an environment of pure, perfect love. Heaven is a land of love, of perfect love. Heaven is the dwelling of God where His love pours forth perfectly, fully, purely upon those who live in heaven. And all those who live in heaven enjoy the fullness of God's love for us always without any mixture, without any barrier. And all those in heaven love God perfectly, fully, completely, without any wrong motives or selfishness mixed in. What a wonder that will be. When our faith becomes sight and our faith then is removed, we'll still have love. When the object of our hope is possessed and hope is no more, it's then we'll still have love. Perfect love. Love is the greatest grace of all. And heaven is our destination, congregation. A land filled with God's love for His people and His people's love for Him and each other. It's not only because love flows from God's eternal nature, but also because love characterizes the land where we're headed, that love is the greatest grace of all. It's our future. It's our destiny. It's who we are as children of God. We long to be perfectly. It's who we are even as we long to be fully like Christ. Elders and deacons, brothers, keep that future in mind as you labor. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. Those brothers who have completed your term, be refreshed. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In this life, it's necessary to believe. It's necessary to hope. We need those things. We know that. We struggle, don't we? Right? Faith, especially in our struggle, helps. Hope in our struggle helps. But there's a time where our struggle will be no more. Cultivating the grace of love then must be stressed. Love has value not only for this life, but also the life to come. Faith, hope, and love abide. These three, the greatest is love. Congregation, how are you loving? How do you show your love for God and others? And as we conclude this series through 1 Corinthians 13, go back and examine your life through this lens, this chapter. Are you focused on yourself, on the pleasures, or even on your duties? We live in a world that is focused on self, a world in which true love, it's not there, no matter what the world claims and has supposed pride in. It's not true love. Are you expanding outward to those in your family, those in your school, those in your workplace, those in your community, those in the church? Cultivate agape love in your life. Pray that God would fill you with this love so you would overflow in love toward others. Love, that's our goal. All in service to the glory of God. Children, there are many ways you can love. This is for you right now. One of the best ways, children, you can love. You can love your parents by obeying them. A good way to love your brother, to love your sister, don't tease them. Share with them. Say a kind word to them. Another wonderful way of loving children, you can do this too. Pray for others. Children, you can do all of that right now. Isn't that wonderful? You can love. You, by God's grace, do love. And as you consider your life and how you can grow in love, always remember the grace of God who first loved us, who continues to love us regardless of our failings. His God who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's Jesus who loved us so much that he laid down his life for us, suffering and dying for our sins, rising on the third day, when we should have perished because of our sin. It's the Holy Spirit who loves us. He comes to us and he lives within our hearts and he changes us. So what all does that mean for you and me? When your love, when my love toward God is cold, when our love toward one another is weak, when we find it hard to go on, when we're losing hope to love others, it's especially then turn to the love of God. It's the fountain of all love. It's the fountain of our redemption. Remember and believe that good news and entrust yourself to the Almighty God. He's got everything under control. He's lovingly directing all things to his glory and your good. And as you remind yourself of the gospel, pray. Say, Lord, help me. Increase my faith in you. Help me not to give up hope. Help me to love. I don't want to love this person. I'm tired of loving them. Is there any point in loving them? Lord, help me love them. And by God's grace, stepping out in faith and hope, love your spouse. Love your children. Children, love your parents. Love your neighbors. Love your enemy. We're recipients of God's love, God's eternal love. Therefore, we are to love one another. And so we conclude our study through 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter of love, agape love. Lord willing, we'll move back to our series through Genesis, and we'll pick up. We read of God establishing his covenant with Abraham throughout these chapters. And so bringing into our world this formal beginning of the covenant of grace, of the chesed, the covenant faithfulness, the covenant love, steadfast love that leads to our faith and hope, that leads to life. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God who loved us before time began, who chose us in Christ to grace and glory, who sent his Son to suffer and die for us, who sends his Spirit to change us, sheds abroad your love in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for changing us. Now, O Lord, through all our lives, cultivate faith, hope, and love. May we never lose sight of these fundamental graces, not be distracted. Let's see how all of our labor, all of the offices and duties are to be directed in this way, all to your glory. And send Jesus back. We long for that day when our faith will be sight, when our hope will be realized, when we will be perfected in love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.